This morning, we're going to finish out 1 Corinthians. If you've been here for the last few months, we've been going through that, but we'll be in 1 Corinthians 16 today. So this morning, I want to talk to you about giving. It was planned for me from 1 Corinthians. And some of you are thinking, are you kidding me? You're about to be gone for 8 weeks and you're going to talk about giving? So before I talk about giving, I want to give you something. I was thinking this week, what could I give that even kids would enjoy and like and would make them say, after 8 weeks, say, when's that other guy going to be back to preach again? So we got some guys that are going to come through here. We got some ice cream sandwiches for you this morning. Nothing more appropriate when it's about 200 degrees outside than ice cream sandwiches. And so they are going to hand these out. They're not huge ice cream sandwiches because I am on a budget. So you feel free. The thing about ice cream sandwiches, though, is you got to eat them right now. You can't say, I'll eat that later, right? We're also passing out napkins. And I'm sure some of you are like, man, this is going to make a mess in here. And I thought about that this week, and I thought, I'm going to be gone. I think Stephen can handle it. So, no, just kidding. Rudy can handle it instead of Stephen. So, but they're going to be handing these out as they go through here. So, grab an ice cream sandwich. Now, I know you say, well, but everybody doesn't want an ice cream sandwich. And I disagree. Everybody wants one. You may say, I don't need one. But there's a difference between what you need and what you want, right? So grab a sandwich as they come through. So while you're getting a sandwich, I do want to tell you, in case you're new or you've been out a couple weeks, starting tomorrow, I will be going on sabbatical first and then some PTO, some pay time off that I'm taking also. And so I will be out for about 8 weeks total. That means this past week has been... The last few weeks have been very frantic, trying to finish up things, trying to take care of a lot of things. I'm trying to finish formatting and editing a book before I go because I'm trying to get all that done before I go. In fact, a couple days ago, my wife said, so when are you going to slow down? And I said, probably 11:59 on Sunday night. I have to at that point. But part of the problem I realized this week, I told you last week, I feel convicted. There's a lot of, right now, the 80s are kind of back in fashion, from what I understand, and hairstyles and clothes and stuff like that, and some of you are like, I should have held on to those clothes, but, and so I'm going back to the 80s too, because my plan is to spend 8 weeks with no internet, except I will have to pay some bills every once in a while, but no news, no sports, no finance stuff. In fact, Friday I was at my house working on some things and I realized about 2 o'clock, oh my goodness, I'm not going to be able to access financial stuff for a while. I need to get in here and set some things and forget it, right? And so that's kind of made it even more frantic getting ready to go on sabbatical because I started thinking this week, I'm going to be doing some fishing. How do you find out what's good on certain lakes? You get online. I mean, we do everything online, right? And so I've been preparing to do all of this, and so hopefully by 11:59 tonight, I will be finished. And so let me say one more thing, or two more things about that. Number one, my goal, you can pray for me, is this sabbatical and then extended vacation time is totally about refocusing and centering on my relationship with the Lord and letting Him renew me. And because if I'm going to lead well, it has to be out of an overflow, right? And it has to be from the Lord. And so that's what this time is really focused on. That's what I'll be doing. I mean, I've got family, so we're going to do some family vacations, some things like that, but that's what's happening. The second thing I want to tell you is If it happens, I may have to send a video to Stephen. I am at the very tail end, and we are getting ready to finally publish a book about all races united in Christ. And so Stephen and somebody else's member, Caroline, are going to be working on the cover and things like that, because if you've ever seen my artwork, you do not want me to do the cover. When that happens, here's what I want you to know. I'm going to It may not be a book that you want to read. And I say that because it's really written for leaders of churches where they know we need to change, but they aren't sure how to go about it. So what I am going to encourage you to do when it comes out is think, do I know somebody else that works in ministry, that serves in ministry, that they're in a situation like this and their church needs to make some changes, especially when it comes to diversity, and maybe buy it for them and give it to them. Here's what I want you to know too when I tell you that, and I despise when I see people self-promoting. This is not every bit of profit that may come to this book, which there may be none, goes to the church. The church gets that and is going to use it to help other churches who are trying to make these changes. And so I'm not up here doing this because you think, oh, he's trying to make money off of it. I don't make anything off of this. You guys have been gracious to let me work on this and write on this. And so the church is the one that gets that. So I'm telling you that so you know he's not up there trying to pad his pockets. Because we're going to talk about giving today. And I don't know if you heard, but this couple weeks ago, there was a very influential, what I would call TV evangelist, who came out and said he was repenting of all the sermons he did about tithing and giving in the past. That he has come to understand that we live by grace and not by law. His name is Creflo Dollar. I'm not a big fan of his. I didn't contribute to his jet that he asked for a few years ago that God told him he needed to get. But I want us to look appropriately, not just at giving money, but giving time and giving love. And so I've given you something, so I hope you'll listen to what Paul has to say about us and giving in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The last part of Paul's letters are always interesting because there's a whole lot of, it just gets a lot of topics real quick when he gets to the end of his letters. And there's a lot of what I call, say hi to your mama, comments that he says too, if so-and-so sends you their greetings and greet this person and those kinds of things that happen also. So we're going to go through the whole chapter, but we're going to focus on a few particular things. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints. The church there in Corinth is collecting money to help out, we think, in Jerusalem for those who are experiencing famine and poverty. And so they are collecting an offering for that. He says, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so this is not just to Corinth, there's other churches that Paul had told the same thing. He says, so you also are to do. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. How do you give the best? How do you give the most? In this particular context, we're talking about money. I want to suggest to you that planned giving is the best act of giving. Not spur of the moment, not I felt it at that particular time, but planned giving is the best way. Listen to how Paul is telling them. He says, I want you on the first day of the week to set aside some money. In fact, Paul is saying, when I come, I don't even want us to take an offering. I want you to already have set it aside. You've already been collecting it so that when the time comes to give that, you have it to give. And I want y'all to set it aside. He's talking about planned giving. And then he says, in keeping with his income. I like the way the NIV translates. This one translated, he says, as he may prosper. NIV says, in keeping with his income. What he's saying is, I think Paul is saying there's a proportional kind of giving that we are to do. The best way, if you want to give the most, if you're here today and you say, you know, I wish I could do more, I wish I could give more, plan it. And plan it proportionally. In other words, don't just come in and say, oh, okay, what I have in my wallet today. Let's be honest, most of us carry very little cash anymore, right? I never carry, I think the only checks I may write, I can't remember the last time I wrote a check, actually. I don't carry a checkbook. You don't carry a checkbook, probably. Some of you do. We'll forgive you for that if you're in line in front of us at Walmart. But nobody carries checkbooks, nobody carries cash, and so how am I going to give consistently and give proportionally? I have to plan it. Proportional means it's not on a whim. It means I sit down and I pray and I say, Lord, what do you want me to give? Lord, give me a number, give me a percentage, and I will give that. And then we just give it. Planning is the way to go when it comes to giving. Whether you're a teenager and you get 20 bucks for mowing a yard, or you're an adult and you make 20,000 or 200,000, I'm not even going to say 2 million because I know none of you are making that, okay? It's to plan it out. Think for a moment. I did earlier this week. I thought, what can I give everybody? It's summertime. Let's give some ice cream. So I planned this out. I had to stop by the store to go pick up the ice cream sandwiches and get them in the freezer. I had to get some guys ready to hand them out. If I had gotten here this morning and about 5 minutes before the service says, ooh, you know what? I think I want to give everybody something today. What you would have gotten is in the freezer, there's a 5-pound bag of shredded cheese. And everybody would have gotten about a 1/2 ounce of shredded cheese. That would have been wonderful, right? But because I planned, you got something that was much better than shredded cheese, right? Unless you're making a quesadilla. Planning is the way to go when it comes to giving. And so Paul is telling them, we're taking this offering. I want you to plan for it. Set it aside every week according to your income. So when I come, you won't have to collect it. So I want to ask you a few questions this morning. Have you planned your giving financially to the work of the Lord? I'm not asking, do you give sometimes? I'm asking, have you planned so that you may give? Have you set it aside? If you say, well, I wish I could do more, stop wishing and start planning so that you can do more. The point of planning is that there's something that feels good when you experience a need and you say, I have the money or I have the resources to do this. Let me do this. Instead of driving away saying, oh, I wish I could do more. We live in our household on a budget. I know that's not popular with some of you. But we live on a budget. And I got to tell you, sometimes there are expenses that come up that you have to pay for. You don't want to pay for them, but you have to pay for them. Can I tell you, it is nice when all of a sudden you need new tires. And I know some people say, I wasn't planning on having to buy tires. If you own a car, every 40 to 50,000 miles or so, you're going to have to buy tires. And so why not plan for it? Why not every month set a little bit of money aside? And I can tell you, just personal experience, it sure is nice to say, oh yeah, we got the money for that. Instead of saying, how am I going to pay for this? Because here's what's going to happen. Every one of us is going to pay for new tires, right? You're either going to do it on the front side or the back side. And the back side is the credit card side, right? And paying interest side. So why not do it on the, you're going to pay either way. So why not do it on the front side? Why not plan? I think that's what Paul's getting at when it comes to our giving to the Lord, to ministry. Plan it. Because if we didn't budget at our house and we just looked at what was in the bank account, here's what happens. We're not thinking, oh, we're not setting money aside for tires. We're not setting money aside for when the air conditioner breaks or whatever. We're not doing any of that. So look in the bank account. Oh, we've got money. Let's go out and eat tonight. Right? This is what happens. Some of you, I'm not trying to be critical, but this is how you have lived a lot of your life. And then when the expense that you knew was going to come, that you didn't plan for, comes up, now you don't have money, right? And Paul is saying, if you don't plan, this is what I think, if you don't plan, when I come, we're going to have to do offerings. And when I come, some people are going to say, oh, I don't have any money to give right now. We've used it all. So set it aside. I'm not talking about tithing here, a 10% thing, but I am saying I think you need to give proportional. You need to pray as a family, as a couple, as a single person, whatever, wherever stage of life you're in, you need to pray and say, Lord, what would you have us give? And then you need to set it aside to give to the Lord. Because if you don't set it aside, it will get used. Amen? Or oh me, maybe is what we should say, right? It's going to get used. And let's not live with regret saying, I wish I could do more. Now, you may still say that no matter how much you set aside, right? But let's not always do that way. One more example of planning. About 4 or 5 years ago, I think if I remember right, it was some of our teenagers and Nathan led them and an outreach team. We put together bags. They put together a bunch of bags and little Walmart bags that had like some crackers in it and a water bottle and a Nutri-Grain bar or something like that, just several things in it. And the whole point of that was to say, take one of these bags, and everybody took a bag, put it in your car, because at some point you're going to stop on this, and somebody's going to be on the side of the road saying, need money for food, please help. And if you're like me, most of the time when you see those folks, you think, I don't have anything. Now, sometimes you got something and you just still say, I don't have anything, right? And you start reasoning in your mind, well, they're probably going to use it on something that they shouldn't and so forth and so on. But the whole point is, if you don't carry cash and you don't have anything to give, and the whole point was, be planned and prepared so when the need arises, you can say, here's a bag that's got some snacks in it and some water and things like that. And you're prepared to give. And so Paul tells us, the end of Corinth, he's saying, hey, I'm going to be coming, plan to give. But planning is not just about what we give. Planning is also about the ministry that we do. Keep reading in verse 5 because Paul kind of transitions here. And he says, I'm going to visit you, or I will visit you after passing through Macedonia. For I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. I love Paul. I'm going to stay in Ephesus. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of enemies, but I'm going to stay here anyway, right? But notice what Paul is saying to them. He says, hey, I want to come by and see you, but I don't want to make a real quick visit through here because I want to spend some time with you and minister to you, and y'all minister to me. And so Paul is thinking through, he is planning how he is going to do ministry. Now, I know that this isn't, I don't even know what word to use. I'm going to use the term, it's way overused and misused. That's not the sexy way to do it, right? The sexy way to say, well, the Holy Spirit's leading us and we just do it moment by moment. Whatever happens in the moment, that's what we do. There's a place for that. But Paul is saying, I am planning this out so I can maximize my time with you. I don't want to just blow through and spend one night and then go on. I want to have ministry with you here. Paul had planted this church and spent about a year and a half there. He wants to come back and to see them again and to spend time and pouring into them. And I want to ask you, have you thought through, have you planned the ministry to which God would have you doing? Or do you think, well, just in the moment, you know, if I feel it at the moment, then I'll jump in somewhere or I'll help out with something. And that sounds spiritual, right? And it is spiritual to say, I'm available to help wherever I can be used. But there is a part of which we need to be planning the ministry that God, they say, I know God's called me to do this, or God wants me to do this, and now I'm going to plan and I'm going to set aside the time to do that. I'm going to set aside the time to do it well and effectively, but I'm setting this time aside. The deal is not just as the need arises, if I have time at that moment, but to say, I am planning time that I'm going to be doing this ministry. The best acts of giving are planned, and the best acts of time spent are planned also. And then there's another thing Paul talks about. I'm going to jump to verse 13. Well, I'll read through the rest, but we'll focus on 13, because now he starts talking about a few logistics. Verse 10, he says, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Why do you think they might despise him? That sounds familiar from another passage, right? Where Paul writes in 1 Timothy, he says, let no one despise you because of what? Because of your youth. Timothy's a young guy. So Paul's telling the church ahead of time, hey, don't despise this guy because he's young. Help him on his way in peace so that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. It talks about somebody else. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. And then verse 13, be watchful. Starts these real quick. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be strong. This sounds like we're going to take the hill kind of talk, right? Be strong in the faith. Have courage. Hoorah! You know, this is man kind of talk, right? Act like men. Don't act like little boys. Act like men. But notice what he finishes this part with. Let all that you do be done in what? In love. We're back to this love above all. But everything that you do, your strength, let it be in love. Your courage, let it be in love. Standing firm, being watchful, let all of those things be done in love. Everything, he says, let it be done in love. So my question for you is, how do you know if you're doing it in love or not? How do I know I'm acting in love? It takes some thought, doesn't it? It takes me planning or thinking through this thing that I'm about to do. Is it being done in love or is this a selfish act? Am I hoping to get something back from this? Am I doing this to be seen by other people? Why am I doing this? And the best acts of love, believe it or not, are planned. They're planned. You see, sometimes we think love is, well, love is there's a need and I feel it deeply in my heart right now at this particular moment. That is not love. Love is there is a need and I have planned to meet that need. I have planned to love well in this situation. Which is better? Let's say there's something that has arisen and somebody meets a particular need. Would you rather that, if you're the person in need, would you rather that person, you say, man, why did you help me out? Well, I don't know. It just felt right at the moment. Which is what some people say. It just felt right at the moment. Or would you rather hear somebody say, I've been thinking a lot about this. And I wanted to love you well. And I figured this is the best way I could love you well. Which of those is better? Somebody who's thought through this is not just a spur of the moment. Because if my love is based on the feeling that I have in the moment, it's going to be as fickle as my feelings are, right? Everybody here who is married or has been married knows there are days that you don't feel like loving. Right, Si? He's the only one brave enough to laugh about it. The rest of you are scared. You won't even look at your spouse at this moment, right? Not you. No, no, no. I've never felt that way. There are days that you feel selfish. And you start having those thoughts go through your mind. You say, well, how do you know this? Because I feel the same. You think, why am I the one who has to do this? Why don't they do more? Why am I doing more than they are? Why? And you don't feel like loving. But when you've made a commitment to say, I'm going to love, when I planned, I will love, that matters. In fact, most marriages fail for lack of planning. Most failures in marriage happen because of lack of planning. Young couple gets together, they get married. Oh, we love each other. We'll never, you know, we would never fall out of love, and they'll fall out of love, right? And they get together, and I've said it before, somehow 5 years later, 7 years, 10 years later, they hate each other, and they don't even want to be together anymore. They never planned on that happening. But what they didn't do was plan to prioritize each other and to make sure that they spent time with one another. Sometimes kids come along, a lot of times kids come along, and all of a sudden the focus is on the kids and they spend no time with each other anymore other than talking about kids. And most of these failures in marriage could be helped because they are going to head one direction or the other. Your marriage, if you're here and you're married, or you hope to be married one day, it will head one direction or the other. You have to direct it, and that happens by planning. To prioritize your spouse and planning date nights and planning time together to talk and planning all of those kinds of things. You say, yeah, but that seems so, I don't even know what the term is. Unromantic, thank you. That's not romance. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's romance with love. You won't just romance, go by the spur of the moment. And one day, the spur of the moment's going to be, I don't think I like this person anymore. I don't think I love them anymore. And you got romance that comes from love and is planned. So, since I am going to be on sabbatical, I'm going to finish a sermon early. I got to let you think. Hey, we want him to come back, right? So let me wrap up this. Let me read the rest, and then we're going to wrap it up. Verse 15. Now I urge you, brothers. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, or your Bible may say submit to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. Just real quick. Paul says, hey, you got these people who are working among you. And he says, be subject or submit yourself to such as these and to every fellow worker and laborer. Paul is making an emphasis here. These people who are striving and working among you, they are not sitting back saying, somebody carry my Bible for me, somebody open the door for me, somebody, you know, I've got to have all these people take care of my needs, and I'll go sit on my throne while they take. He says, they are working among you. He says, those are the kinds of people you need to follow. And that's why I struggle so much with a lot of TV evangelists. It's all about other people taking care of them and their needs. It is about working together. And he says, when you find somebody like that, follow them. Submit to them. And then in verse 19, it's the say hi to your mama stuff. The churches of Asia send you their greetings. Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church and in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's different, right? It's their custom. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So let me wrap up Corinthians, this chapter, and then Corinthians itself. This fall, we're going to really cover some of what 1 Corinthians 16 is, and much more detail. We're not going to be in 1 Corinthians 16, but we're going to be doing a series the Sunday after Labor Day. We're going to start a series called A Rule of Life. And this series is all about us practically figuring out how do we set aside, plan, and order our lives in such a way that we maximize love for God and love for other people. And it will not just happen. Because the world will have a million other things for you to do. There will always be distractions. There will always be other things, other people who want your attention where they want your attention. And so the series I'm excited about, I think it has potential to be one of the most life-changing series that we've ever done since I've been here in 18 years. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that. And we're going to talk more about what does it look like to plan love? What does it look like to plan ministry? What does it look like to do those things? But in the meantime, if you aren't already, I encourage you to start looking at planning your giving. Sit down as a couple. Sit down with your checkbook or your bank account online. Sit down and look through and say, what does God want me to give and how do I plan it out? I want to encourage you to begin planning ministry. In just a few weeks, we're going to have Connection Sunday. I almost said the other one, Maria. Formerly known as Ministry Fair. But we're going to have Connection Sunday. And on Connection Sunday, there are going to be all kinds of booths set up for life groups and booths set up for different ministries. If you're saying, I need to figure out where I plug in ministry, this is an opportunity for you to talk to people who are leading those ministries and say, how do I go about getting involved in ministry? And then what I want you to do, if you say, this is what I feel like God's calling me to do, then you plan for it. Oh, this happens on Tuesday nights, or this happens on Thursdays once a month. I put that in my calendar and I plan. Nothing else is going to happen during this time. Unless there's an emergency, this time is planned for ministry. Because if you don't, a million things will come up. And there will always be a reason why you have something else that's going on. So plan giving, plan ministry, and then I would tell you, plan love in all things. I love thinking through things, and so I know that's not everybody's nature, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but it's probably right I'm not a spur of the moment, hey, let's just fly by the seat of our pants. But I want you to know that every one of us in here needs to plan how we will love others. You need to plan how you're going to love your children, different phases in their life. You don't have to plan it all the way out. Just plan for right now, okay? But how am I going to love them in this phase? Some of you have students who are about to head to college for the first time, just finished high school. How do I love my child well in this stage of life as it looks different than it did before? Just like the toddler years looked very different than the teenage years, right? How do I love well? How am I going to love my spouse well during this period? Plan to love. How am I going to love people at church well? I told you this before. I want to encourage you again. Before you even walk in the door on Sunday morning, plan. Lord, who's here? Now, it may be a spur of the moment when you see them, but God may bring somebody to your mind before you walk in the doors to say, you need to go and encourage that person today. Plan before you even walk in the door. You wouldn't expect me to come on Sunday morning unplanned, would you? You may think I am unplanned sometimes, but for the most part, you expect me to plan or to prepare, right? And to be ready. I expect our staff to do that. If Lucas comes and I say, what are y'all doing this? I'm like, I don't know. We'll just figure it out in a moment. I'm like, Lucas, that ain't happening. Like, that's not cool. So if you know you're supposed to gather with the body of Christ and you're supposed to use the gifts God's given you to build up the body of Christ, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, how is it that it's okay for you to come and not be planned for how you're going to use your gifts to build up the body of Christ? We should expect that of one another. From the beginning of 1 Corinthians, they had all kinds of issues. They had divisions about who was following who. And they had divisions about who's more spiritual than who and who has the better gifts than who. And had divisions based on rich and poor when they're doing the Lord's Supper. There's all divisions over, can we eat this meat or should we not eat this meat? And all kinds of divisions are happening all throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. And Paul's answer over and over and over and over again is to love well. So I want to conclude it. Kind of how we started it, with what overrides every theme in Corinth. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. He's talking about the coming of Jesus. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Let's live it out. Love above all. Love above my preferences. Love even above my opinions. Love above what I think other people ought to do. Love above my rights that I say that I have. Love above, well, this is just who I am. The greatest of these is love. Let's pray together. Lord, it's been a quick journey through 1 Corinthians. But Lord, I pray that we would give all of our attention, that love would be in all things that we do. Whether we speak, sing, play instruments, serve, cook, rock babies, whatever we do, Lord, that love would be above all. Lord, I pray for us as a church that we would plan well to love. Lord, help us to plan well to love our community, to love the members of the body of Christ here, to love those who aren't here that live in this neighborhood, Lord. I pray that we would plan well, and then we would execute, Lord, that we would set these things aside, that we would set aside the resources to do it. We plan to give well. We would plan to serve well. That you may be glorified. And Lord, that we might be able to lay our heads down at night and know that we have done what you've called us to do. That we would live without regrets. That we wish we could have done more. Wish we had more time set aside, Lord. But that we would plan it and do it. So Lord, I pray for your grace, that we would live this out. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.